Jesus tells us stories in order that we might understand truths. And so he tells us another story here today. And we follow on his story as we find it in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I begin reading in the 14th verse. Listen to the word of God. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He would receive the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Well, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Amen. For 50 years, I was a Rotarian. I went to my Rotary meetings every week. It was special to me. It gave me kind of an oasis away from the church, an entree into the network with the rest of the community in special ways. But it also gave me opportunity to occasionally give an invocation. And so on one occasion, I was invited to give the invocation, which meant not only that I offered a prayer, but also meant that I sat at the head table. Well, on this occasion, I sat at the head table, but next to me sat the speaker of the day, a young man by the name of Alex Honnold. I didn't know Alex at the time, but I found out sitting next to him that he had grown up in Sacramento and was living in Sacramento, and that he was a mountain climber. And I like to go hiking in the mountains, but I wasn't really a mountain climber. And I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, I don't know." He says, I just climbed Half Dome." And I thought, "Well, I know I've climbed Half Dome too." He said, "No, I mean up the face of it." "Oh, that's impressive." "No, I mean without ropes." "You're kidding me." "No, just climbed it." Alex Honnold is the first person to have ever climbed Half Dome in Yosemite without ropes. Last year, he climbed El Capitan, 3,000 feet, a face slicker than the Half Dome, without ropes. This is Alex telling you about that trip.
Show you guys 30 seconds of the best day of my life.
Oh, yeah. 3,000 feet. Now, if that doesn't make your stomach go a little bit jiggly, you're calloused. Now, that's risky. Now, some people tell me that some things I do are risky. Like coming to Fairbanks? No, that's not risky. I like to canoe. I've canoed down the Salmon River in a canoe. Some say that's kind of risky. I've jumped out of a perfectly good plane at 13,000 feet. Some say, now that's kind of risky. I have camped out in Glacier National Park with grizzly bears roaming the forest around me, and some say that's risky. My wife won't go backpacking with me anymore. She tells me, she says, Donald, you don't think it's a vacation unless you've risked your life at least twice. I think it's a little bit overstating it. But I don't know, I think life is risky. I think you've surely taken some risks. I think getting married, those of you who are married, now that's kind of risky. Or having children, now that is really risky. I think going off to college by yourself, that's pretty risky. Actually, life is risky. And Jesus tells us that our Master, God, is a risk taker. He's a one who's into risk taking, and he calls those who are risk takers to come follow him. Jesus is a risk taker. Being a risk taker is simply being one of God's followers. Now, some risks I don't take. I have never invested in the commodities market. That's a very stupid thing to do. I don't go to Las Vegas to play poker. Now, that's nonsense. I don't get it. I know that there are some people who think that going down the Black Diamond Slope on skis, that's smart. I think that's not smart. That's risk-taking beyond reason. But Jesus says, risk-taking is what I call you to do and to be, risk-takers. And then he tells us this story about four risk-takers. You would say, well, no, I think there was three. No, there's four. The master is the number one risk-taker. The master calls together three of his servants, and he says, I'm going to take a risk on you guys. I'm going to give you my wealth, and then I'm going to leave town. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. I'm going to give you this, my wealth. And to one, he gives 5 talents. And to another, he gives 2 talents. Then another, he gives 1 talent. Now, a talent is the weight of a human being. The weight of a human being. In the first century, it would be about 75 pounds. Now, 75 pounds of gold would come up to be about $1,425,000. And so to one servant, he gives 5 talents. About $7,125,000. That's a bit of a risk. And to another, he gives 2 talents. About $2,850,000. And to a third servant, he gave 1 talent, $1,425,000. Altogether, this master has risked over $11 million on his servants. He's a risk taker. And then he leaves town. Okay, see you guys. He didn't tell me when they're going to come. He's coming back. He just said, I'm leaving. You're in charge of that which I gave you. Jesus wants us to know that we are the servants. He is the master. And he wants us to know that he has enriched every single one of us. Not equally. In fact, it is might say, well, that wasn't really fair. One got five talents, one got one talent. How is that fair? Well, it's because according to their ability. Jesus makes that clear. According to their ability is the way he handed it out. And Jesus then says, I have enriched you according to your ability. I've empowered you. You say, well, I don't feel that rich. I don't feel that. Oh, yes, you have. You have just been given 24 hours. Today. What did you do to get today? I didn't do anything. I just woke up. No, but God says, ta-da, you get 24 hours to invest. Now, those of us who say, well, you know, God, I've got some really important things to do. He doesn't say, in that case, I'll give you 25. Nope, 24. Now, some of us may say, you know what, I thought I'd just spend the day kind of lazing around the house and watch a few football games. And God doesn't go, well, in that case, I'll only give you 22. No, he says, y'all get 24 hours. And why am I giving these things to you, says God? I'm giving these to you because I want you to invest them. But it's not just time. He gives us bodies. He gives us houses. He gives us education. He gives us intelligence. He gives us experiences. Every experience today is a gift from God. And the question is, what are we going to do with that investment? God is in wealth, is empowering you, is enriching you, and the enrichment is meant for a purpose. And the purpose is to invest. And the day will come, he'll say, what did you do with this investment? But most of all, God invests the gospel, himself. Have you thought that if it wasn't for you and me, Jesus would never have come to this earth? There would be no Christmas. Because none would be needed. He only came because of our need, because of our sin, because of our failure. And then Jesus came, as Paul says in the Philippians, he says, and he gave up his divinity and became one of us, even more humble than one of us, and he died upon a cross. Well, why did he do that? It was an investment in you, an investment in me. God did that because of our need. Now, I think if you were to ask the normal person walking down the street, maybe outside of First Presbyterian Church, walking down Cushman, if you were to say, do you know any risk takers in town? I wonder if they would say, oh, yeah, the people that go to church there, they're definitely risk takers. I wonder. There's an old saying about churchgoers that goes something like this. Come weal or woe, the only status we know is quo. Status quo. That's not First Presbyterian Church, though. At least not what I've learned about it. 100 years ago, a young man by the name of S. Hall Young came riding into Fairbanks on a dog sled. He came into this mining community where there were a lot of wanted men who were simply here, not simply to look for gold and silver. They were escaping the lower 40. They were mean. They were rough. Prostitution, gambling, violence were the norm. Native Americans were more drunk than sober. Hall Young came into town for one reason. He was going to start the First Presbyterian Church, and he did. He was not a big man. Fact is, they say he was about 5'4", skinny. He didn't back down. He was here to start that church. He was a risk taker. But that wasn't the last risk the First Presbyterian Church ever took. 20 years ago, this church had the opportunity to move out to the edge of town where ministry would be easier. And the decision was made, no, we're staying right here, right on 7th and Cushman. Easy is not what we're looking for. Ministry is what we're looking for. We're risk takers. That's who we are. 6 years ago, this congregation took one of the greatest risks of its history. It left its mother denomination, the United Presbyterian Church, USA, to join the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. That was risky. But you took it. 3 weeks ago, you were invited to take a risk individually, to fill out an estimate of giving card, to say what you were willing to risk in 2020 in the ministry here at the First Presbyterian Church, and you filled those cards out. I eagerly wait to see what God's going to do with that investment that you're making in the future of this church, in this community. In the name of the risk taker, who is Jesus Christ, who has equipped you and prepared you to do this ministry. And so, according to Jesus' story, there are three servants who are brought before the master. And the master says to the first one, he says, I'm giving you 5 talents. Over $7 million I'm going to give you, and I want you to invest this wisely and well. We're told that this master did not give each one of the servants the same amount. We might look at it and go, oh, that's not fair. 3 servants should have gotten 3 or whatever the same. And that's not the story. But Jesus explains. He says they all didn't receive the same amount because they didn't all have the same ability. We're not all created equal. We're all loved equally, but not all created equal. And so one got 5 talents, and one got 2, and one got 1. Let me tell you this story about a young girl named Callie Rogers, a Brit. When she was 16 years old, that was just 6 years ago, she won the UK lottery. $3 million all hers. Now, 6 years later, a bunch of houses and cars and gifts to friends and parties and drugs and, well, some breast implants. She now is a single mother with 2 children trying to get over an addiction and pay off debts that she's incurred. She said, my life is a shambles, and hopefully now it's all gone, I can find some happiness. It's brought me nothing but unhappiness. It's ruined my life. Some of us would have a hard time with different abilities, different talents that God might have given to us. But he didn't. He was a wise God. He knows us. He knows what we're capable of. And to one servant, he gave 5 talents. You can handle this. And to another, he gave 2. You can handle this. To one servant, he gave 1 talent. He says, you can handle this. Nobody is without. Everybody has received. Because God is good. And he holds us accountable for that which he gives. Now the first servant takes his 5 talents and he invests them. I don't know what he invested them in. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, to know? He invested them somewhere that he doubled the amount. From 7 million to 14 million. And he brought it to the master. Now, according to Jesus' story, it didn't seem to occur to this servant to keep the money for himself. You know, it's sort of like, $7 million, I think I can handle. I'll go off to the Bahamas and open a bank account. Nah, that's not a part of his story. Or he might have said, you know, I'm going to invest, and whatever I invest, I'll give it back to the master. But the profit, that's mine. And that's not the story. No, the master calls the servant before him, and the master brings the initial investment plus the profit. And the master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Join in your master's happiness. Well, that's quite an accolade. A second servant comes before the master with his two talents. And he says, this, master, is your investment in me. And the master says to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Join in your master's happiness. In other words, stick around. I like guys like you. I like investing in guys like you. You're what I had in mind when I gave these gifts. You're what I had in mind when I left town. And this is the proof of it. Yeah, this is the proof of it. I think it's rather interesting that the master didn't go, well, now that you've doubled my money, I think you should just take the time off. Find yourself a nice rocking chair and a TV set and watch reruns for the rest of your life. That's not the story. Well, the story is, since you have done well with a little, I'll give you a lot. I said, wait a minute. A little? $7 million is a little? Well, yeah, but now I'm going to give you real money. I'm going to make a real investment in you. Wow. So the second servant hears the same as the first. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we invest what God has given to us, God ups the ante. God doesn't say, okay, thank you very much, goodbye. It's like, oh, let's get down and roll our sleeves up and get to work. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that this is sort of a name it and claim it text. It isn't the idea that somehow if I take God's investment that God's going to kind of end up giving me a brand new pickup truck and a whole lot of things that more toys than I know how to use. That's not the story. The story is not name it and claim it. Matter of fact, the story is not about investing what God give me so that my comfort may be increased. That's not the story, because we're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. No, this story is about taking God's investment and investing it in God's kingdom. God's kingdom. I can't think of a better place to double your investment than the First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. Well, then there's a fourth risk taker. Brings his one talent and says to the master, Master, you gave me one talent. I was worried. I was afraid, so I buried it. I was afraid I was going to lose it. I was going to incur your wrath, your anger. So here it is. It's yours back again. And the master responds to this third servant by saying, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Well then, you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him. You see, the real risk taker in this story is the third servant. He loses everything. Now, how do you figure? That's weird math. No, it's not. We all know that any muscle that is not used atrophies. You lose it. We all know if you don't use your mind, it turns to mush. We all know that if we invest in foolishness, we get back foolishness. That's not a mystery. In a matter of fact, that's the story that Jesus tells. The third servant loses it all. Why? Because he didn't invest. He buried it. Now, the problem isn't that he was a bad investor. The problem really is that he didn't know the master. He thought the master was an angry, bitter, over-expectant ogre. He was gonna somehow hammer this third servant if he did something wrong with that talent, so he did nothing at all with the talent. This third servant didn't know the master. And the master's reply is, "You wicked and lazy servant." He was lazy. And so God has entrusted in the story to each one of the servants a great deal of his wealth, as he has entrusted with us a great deal of his wealth, our time, our abilities, our experiences, our education, our property, all gifts from God invested in us in order that we may invest in his kingdom, each according to their own ability. And when it's well invested, the master is heard to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." There's an old legend that goes that when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning and ascends into heaven, he is greeted by Gabriel, the angel. And Gabriel comes to Jesus, the resurrected Lord, who is still bearing the scars of his crucifixion. And Gabriel says, "That must have been a horrible experience down there on earth, being crucified." And Jesus says, "Yeah, it was." "Well," says Gabriel, "surely now those people down there on earth know how much you love them, what a great extent you are willing to go in order to show them that love." And Jesus says, "No, not really. Not really. There's only a few there in Palestine who know why I died on the cross and who I am." "Oh," said Gabriel, "well, surely they are going to invest that truth so that everyone will know you." "Well, no, not really," said Jesus. I told Peter and James and John and a few others, and I told them to tell others about me. And so they will tell others, and they will tell others, and then the whole world will know about me and about my love and the forgiveness of all human sin." "Oh," said Gabriel, the angel, he says, "but I know those people. You know, they get tired sometimes, and they get busy, and they get distracted. And what if they get uncomfortable doing that? I mean, are you sure this is going to work? What's your plan B?" And Jesus said, "I have no plan B. They're it." And the servant took his talents and invested them and doubled their value. And the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will make you faithful over much. Welcome into your master's happiness." Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we know you've invested much in us. Not just in the things that we use or enjoy every day. You've invested yourself in us. And we pray, O Lord, that by the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we'll be wise investors with your treasure. And we ask, O Lord, the day will come when we too will hear the voice of our Master saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." Amen.
to stand with us here at the end.